Om Shanti. Good morning. How are you? Yeah. Let's do a quick check. I'm going to ask you to, not yet, to stand fully up from your chair if you are feeling very good about not yet what you're learning here. I'm going to ask you to come halfway up like this if you're a little bit tired, a little bit overwhelmed, but also very excited. And stay sitting if today is a day for you of... Okay? Everybody go. How are you? Oh, my goodness. Look at them all. Okay, we have a few halves. It's okay. There's a lot, isn't it? Wonderful. Okay, thank you all. This is a very full week in the sights and sounds and information. I hope you're getting what you want, what you need. And you're comfortable, and it looks like you are, so that's good. This morning we have a very special session, which will be followed by a conversation group, so that you get another chance to chat and make sense of what you're learning with a very small group. And as you notice this afternoon, on your schedule, that beautiful blue piece of paper, has anyone noticed that the timing doesn't work? Uh-huh. So, what did we do instead? 5 o'clock. Yes, we start Golo's presentation at 5 o'clock. This presentation is about our karmic account with Mother Nature. So, very interesting session. And then this evening, meditation. Okay. A couple of announcements before we begin. Who has lost their beautiful sandals? Please stand up. My sister who lost her black sandals. Where is she? She's out looking for her black sandals. Okay, you know how you leave your shoes in the meditation hall to go in? Well, one morning the sister came out and her shoes were gone. So she walked barefoot back to her room through all the bird stuff, you know? And she got on her running shoes. So if anyone has seen little black sandals or by chance took the wrong ones, please just check, okay, and bring them back to the stage, if by mistake, okay? Those who need a buggy, there will be a buggy after this session to take you up the hill, which is great. Welcome, everyone. Welcome, welcome. And without further ado, so that's it for announcements. Without further ado, I would like to introduce to you a dear, dear friend and a very powerful yogi, Sister Manda, who lives and serves in the Global Retreat Center in Oxford, England. And she's been with Peace of Mind forever, and we save her till the end. So, Sister Manda, welcome.
Om Shanti. Good morning. I was telling Judy that definitely when you all first arrive in India, it's a very different experience, especially if you come from the western side of the world. And it definitely is a very sensory experience with all the sights, all the color, the textures, the smells that you experience. And it's a very interesting aspect to consider, actually, I feel. Because later on today you will learn about your karma with Mother Nature, as in with the environment. But the whole beginning of the journey of the soul starts with this interplay between soul and matter. And of course, matter means the 5 physical elements. And so the part of this exploration of the world drama is definitely the exploration of our relationship with the world of matter. And this world, this life, as we know it individually for ourselves, but life as in the planet and all life that exists within it is really to do with this interplay that happens between three things, one of which we forget along the way, but two definitely remain. And as time goes on, we lose our comprehension, if you like, of this interplay. And so the three things that this drama is made up of is soul, God, and matter. And when I say matter, I mean, of course, the five physical elements, earth, water, fire, air, and the ether. And without these, the soul can't experience anything. The soul, this pure, unconditional, beautiful, clean spiritual energy. So in essence, this is who I am. This is who you are. And really our lesson and our journey is to go back to that place inside ourselves while being in this world of matter, in this particular matter, which I have ownership of, but actually the matter that exists around us. This interplay is a very, very powerful thing. So what I'd like to do to begin with is have a little meditation for us to explore this interplay between soul and matter. Remember all that you have learned until now. The soul, the light, the spiritual energy, its pure, unconditional state of being, but also where it is that we consider the soul to come from. The soul comes from the home of light, the place of light, where there is no matter, there is no physical matter in that domain. It's the place that we consider our home, the place we belong to, a place of peace. And just consider for a moment being in that awareness, in that place of total peace, in that original, eternal form, the form of simply being the light, the essence of peace. No senses, no sights, no sound, no taste, no touch. It is like being a seed. The seed that has the potency of producing an incredible tree. The tree full of color, vastness, and fruit. But when the seed is just a seed, it is that potent. But we know that that seed has to be planted in the soil of the earth to germinate, to sprout. To grow and to emerge. Think of yourself as that seed, this powerful ability, the strength. And you're still in that home of light. In a sense, bursting to sprout, to emerge, to explore this possibility of becoming the tree. Full of total peace and a state of completeness, of love as a state of being. And now you begin the journey to plant yourself in the soil of this matter, of this planet that we call the Earth. This soil, this Earth that has the potential for a tree to emerge from this. From this seed. It's beautiful, clean soil. Because it is that time when everything is clean and unpolluted. What does it feel like? What is the sense that you have of yourself in this phase of working or cooperating with this matter, this intricate relationship, where you take ownership of this matter because it holds you. Because it nurtures you. It actually allows your potential to emerge. And with the help of this matter, you're able to perceive the world around you, taste it, smell it, touch it. And to begin with, you're aware of this. You're aware that you are this spiritual energy, using the vehicle of this matter to relate to the world around you. And it is a beautiful play. sophisticated dance of pleasure. There is no selfishness, but just pure joy of expression. Expression of your beautiful self. It's a dance that has created such an intimate relationship with life, with nature, with matter, to the extent that the soul becomes so intertwined with matter that in time it gets to a point where it's difficult to separate the self, the seed, this beautiful self, from matter that degenerates. And that which matter becomes is what you become. Powerless. And there comes a time when you begin to see that you have allowed matter to overpower you and lead you to a place of pain and suffering, when in fact you, the seed, the soul, are very separate from matter. And you can choose. You can choose to be intertwined with matter. Or you can begin to understand its role. And you take your power back. You reclaim the power of being that beautiful self. And lead yourself into the training to return to that dance of total harmony, of love, of joy, of grace and dignity. Thank you. Do you identify with that journey? Do you relate with that journey? Yes, this means yes, this means no. This is the essence of the drama. The essence of the drama of life and the cycle of the world, if you like. An aspect that I also find very interesting is that as this spiritual being, when I'm in that awareness, I'm aware of my power. I'm aware of who I am and what I am. But when I identify myself with this matter and become possessive about it and with it, then I hand over my power. That's simple. And that easily it is done. So, this law though, that I lose myself, I forget myself, is a law. And the reason why it's a law is because another law of the physical dimension that we very much know of, but it's so natural and automatic that we accept it as life. And that law is the law of change. The law of that which is new one day becomes old. Is that a law? Is that a fact? Is that our experience? It is, right? That nothing ever remains the same. So in one lifespan, this piece of furniture that I enjoy very much and love it, and may have spent a good amount of my savings to acquire, it will not stay the same forever. And we accept that. We accept that whatever it is that I have and own and possess will never be the same. It's always changing, moment by moment. It is changing. And it is changing because that which is physical, that which you can touch and see and feel, is physical. And the spiritual and the subtle is not something that you can see with these eyes. You can touch with this hand, catch hold of it, and contain it in something. So there is this play, this interplay that happens between soul and matter, that as matter degenerates, as time goes on, the soul identifies itself with matter and therefore the physical body. And how much do we all consider this to be our personal property? But is it our personal property? Or is it that that which we acquire? You had a huge lesson yesterday about karma, and that how each one of us is responsible for our own destiny. Each one of us is responsible for what it is that we manifest for ourselves. And so it comes about as the way in which I relate to this world of matter. So when we first begin, when the soul is completely pure, and when it first begins its journey down onto the physical plane, everything on this physical plane is very beautiful, pure and clean. And that's when the soul has a dance. I suppose I relate it very much to the seasons that we have in our world, this whole aspect of change, and the need for everything to degenerate and then renew itself, to become new again, to become fresh again. And so you have, you know, summer or spring, summer, autumn, winter, a time when everything hibernates and it finds its energy again through that phase of hibernation and is reborn again or is re-energized again. You have the seasons, you have the weeks, Monday to Sunday, and after Sunday comes Monday again. We don't question that. You have the rising and the falling of the moon. You have the full moon, and as 15 days go by and just a slither of a moon remains, we accept that. All of these cyclic patterns of life are very much part of our life and our world. We recognize that and we know the value of those, because that's the phase through which aspects degenerate and life begins again. Think about it in terms of the soul's own journey. If you think about this journey going from the beginning through the middle to the end, where do you think we might find ourselves in today? Especially when we experience so much pain, sorrow, suffering, possessiveness, ego, attachments, and anger. What do you think it is that gives rise to these negative emotions? One very simple thing, a very fundamental thing that happens to our consciousness. And now, at a time when it is and it's in its peak, where do you think we are at this point in time? And where is it? Somebody asked me this morning, where do you think is our next phase? Where is it that we're going next? But in order to know where you're going, you have to know where you've ended up, first of all. And so very much the understanding for us in the Brahma Kumaris philosophy, if you like, that this world is a cycle. And as part of this cycle, we go around with the cycle. A time that is known as the beginning of life and the world, which is the golden aged world. A world in which there is total harmony, love, peace, where soul and matter are in absolute harmony with one another. Where life is a dance. Where life is a joy. Where life is pleasure. Where there is no attachment, no possessiveness. But we recognize who we are. And when the soul in its full and complete form expresses itself through the beauty of matter and nature. That's it. There is no ego, there is no attachment, because there is no need for it. Because there is absolute understanding of who I am, who you are, and who you are, and we're all exactly the same. A time of total expression of one's own beauty and truth. Can you imagine life like that? But it is true that in that era, nature, matter, and element, what happens now? Everything is topsy-turvy. When it's supposed to be rain, it's heat. When it's supposed to be cold, when it's heat, then it's heat. When it's supposed to be heat, there is cold. Last year, or perhaps even the year before, there was so much frost and cold in the UK that so many plants died. And they died not, frost is normal aspect of life in the UK, but the frost has never defrosted throughout the day. It killed everything. I live near where the farmers are, and the farmers say that the cold, the freezing temperatures are necessary to kill the bacteria that have been generated through the summer months for the soil, so that when the spring comes and they sow seeds again, there is proper germination and there is proper growth of crop that happens. In the same way, this degeneration, what happens with nature and the soul, is that while the soul enjoys being in its expression through matter and nature, as time goes on, the soul loses its original beauty and original power simply through acting and interacting. And as it loses itself in that way, it loses its truth. And because it loses its truth, it becomes unsafe. And in that place of being unsafe, it needs to protect itself. So this protection happens through holding on to what you have. This happens over a very long period of time. But then the soul finds itself in this place of being possessive, first of all, of this physical body. This, you know, they say how when a baby is learning to grow in the early phases, early childhood, very small state, it has no separation between itself and the world outside of it. So it doesn't have this awareness where it stops and someone else begins, or something else outside of it begins. And so there is no fear. There is no animosity. There is no holding against anybody, anything. And then there comes a time when even the baby, the child, begins to see this separation, and it's a shock. And when this separation is experienced, it needs to protect itself. But even before that, it learns to understand what it is by touching. Imagine being in your absolute form of truth and in your own dignity as a result of that. Just by seeing, you understand and comprehend everything around you. When you are in your absolute place of completion, you're able to see the world around you and give it its place. You don't need to own it, you don't need to possess it, you don't need to touch it, you don't need to be afraid of it. And that's the first beginning of it. But when we begin to lose, then what the soul does is experience the world around it by touching, by holding. And you hold, and then you're afraid of losing what you hold. This is where the role of anger, ego, greed, and attachment begins. Ego to protect one's own self. Anger to defend one's own self. Attachment to feel nourished. To feel you belong. And greed in order to make yourself feel safe. This is the cycle of life. However, why are we all here now? We're all here now because we want to be free. And when I say we, I mean everybody in this room. Why are you here? Why do you find yourself searching and looking for something else more than what you have physically? The people that you have around you, yet you know that there is something else and something more. Because it is now time to return to what we once were. We've never lost sight of that. In a sense, we've never lost sight of what we once were. Those images of absolute truth and beauty. But we become so far away from it, we begin to feel that all that we think is not valuable anymore. We know that it's not nourishing the soul anymore. So, just as you have the four seasons, in the same way, in the cycle of time, there is this time in the middle where the vices, the negativity begins to take hold. But there comes a time, which actually traditionally in Hinduism is also known as the Iron Age. The age of ignorance. The age of falsehood. The age of pain and sorrow and suffering, which is called Kaliyuga. You have the Golden Age, the Silver Age, the Copper Age, and the Iron Age. And we identify with the extremes because it makes sense. But there is this in-between period that allows us to reach to this end. But then, more importantly, there is also this period of the confluence, where the old comes to come to an end and the new has to be born, the new has to begin. This confluence is where the soul meets God. This confluence is where the soul meets the end, meets the beginning. Where the end of the soul, as in not finishing, because the soul is, you've been learning, an eternal being. It doesn't have a beginning, it doesn't have an end. Just that simple aspect of the soul is very important to consider at this point in time. When most people seem to be afraid of death. But there is no such thing as death. If I was to tell you that there is no such thing as death, that you always live, how do you feel? Something does die. What does die is this. This has a beginning and this has an end. But what never has a beginning and an end is this spiritual being, the soul. And you always exist. This personality that you call yourself is an acquired self, as you have already learned. That has a beginning and that has an end. But now, at this point in time, we can allow it to become a tool. Just as this body is a tool, the personality that each one of us has as a unique personality. It can also be a tool. It can also be a tool to allow us to see our past journey and take us to our future exploration. So this is where the role of the confluence, this is where the role of God begins to be played in our lives very practically. The role of religion is very different. To practically and realistically having a direct relationship with the divine. Yesterday you experienced the divine as the one who is your parent, your teacher, and your guide. This is the time without anyone interfering in between that those relationships. You can develop a relationship in such a way that you can be guided towards truth. You can experience the truth of yourself, value of your own journey, and the contribution that we can make to transforming this world. To allow the cycle to spin and begin again. Do you think that's a possibility? The power of spirituality is considered to be the greatest power. It's not something that you can touch and see and feel. You can only know and experience it. And that has to be nurtured at this point in time. And another very important aspect within the cycle of time is time itself. You know, time is a very powerful thing. I think of time almost as my companion. I cannot defy time. There is time for everything. There is time to sow the seeds. There is time to nurture those seeds. And there is time to experience the fruits of those seeds as well. And the cycle is very much the cycle to recognize that journey of through time. The beginning period is the beginning. The time to sow the seeds is, you know, in a farmer, as I was saying, a farmer knows when to sow the seeds, and he knows that he must only sow the seeds at that time. And then wait for those seeds to germinate. Make sure that there is enough water, there is enough light, there is the sun, so that the seeds begin to germinate. And throughout the year, there comes a time when there can be harvest of those seeds that have been sown. It's according to time. And in a sense, all of these things that happen in our journey of pain and sorrow and suffering, it's no one's fault. No one's to be blamed about anything. However, we do take responsibility for our own life. Everything happens according to time. Beginning is the time to the dance. When that degeneration happens and we begin to use the vices for our protection, that was the only way it could have been. It couldn't have been any other way. But now it is the time for us to take responsibility. Now it is the time. Time is supporting us. We consider the self, our own intentions and desire, the company of God, and time. These are the things that help us along our journey to transform the direction it is that we're going in, and as a result, the world is going in. We have this very, very lovely expression in Hindi. Tere bhane sabka bhala. Means when it is the stage of ascent for me, it is the stage of ascent for the rest of the world. However, I recognize that ascent for myself. I have to recognize that time of ascent, that time is helping me. And therefore, the time allows for everything else to happen for me. But I have to be in my own intention, in the right place, at the right time. So that's the confluence age, but also allowing God's part to be played in my life. Do you think this world can continue in the way that it is right now? There is so much pain. There is so much suffering. We also have this expression, when you reach something, ati me ant. When something reaches its extreme, that's when it comes to an end. So this extreme of sorrow and suffering that is happening in the world today, it requires a very small group of people. We have this expression, this notion you are probably aware of, that there is a war that takes place between the 5 Pandavas and 100 Kauravas. The Kauravas had the armies of the world and the weapons of the world. They chose that because they thought that was very important. Whereas the 5 Pandavas chose the company and the guidance of God. Because they knew that the only thing that was going to support them and help them win this war against evil was the company of God. So they choose the company of God. It's all metaphorical. There was no such thing as 5 Pandavas and 100 Kauravas. These are mythical stories. But those mythical stories are born from this time. When there is the armies of the world and weapons of the world, big time. Whereas there is a very small group of people. And I think in percentage, it would take 5% of the population of the world to be extremely and completely present in their spirituality, in the company of God, in the guidance of God. Then the conquest over negativity, conquest over pain and sorrow and suffering can be attained. But I have to be at the right time, at the right place, in the right way. And the right place is not a physical location. The right place is in my own intention. The right place in my awareness and the practice of myself as a spiritual being. In the company and in front of God, next to God, in companionship with God, not in devotion to God. This is a very big difference between religiosity and spirituality. Religion has been necessary in our world up until today. For the last 2,500 years, religion has been important because it gave human beings something to hold on to. But we would also recognize that whilst religion exists, we as people have become distant from our own selves and distant from God. And religion has become devotion in which we've lost our own selves. Spirituality allows us to recognize ourselves, allows us to return to who we are. Spirituality allows us and teaches us to have a direct communication and relationship with God, not a horizontal relationship where God is someone up there and I'm down here and I pray to get what I need out of life. But actually this vertical relationship, this is the confluence and the meeting between soul and God directly. It is this relationship and this vibration and this energy that transforms the energy of the world and allows truth and spirituality to reign in such a natural and automatic way, so that our relationship with matter also becomes one of recognition of the value of both. I think I could probably challenge myself and everyone else that I would say we don't have a relationship with anything right now, or anyone for that matter. Teensy weensy tiny bit of dependency, need, is not a relationship. It's a one-way connection. A relationship is in which both stay in their absolute power and relate to one another. This is what it means to have relationship, be in relationship, where there is no dependency, no subservience, and no handing over, therefore, of power of one's own self. So, yet, everything has its place, everything has its time, and everything has its role to play. One of the fundamental aspects of learning about the drama of life is this, that everything is happening just the way it is meant to be. Do you think that's possible? Whatever it might be, it is meant to be. But what is my part within that? It is happening. My part is not to question, as in, and not out of blind faith, but recognizing the bigger picture. There are times, I was speaking earlier on today, it's important to understand why is it that the role of teacher, for God as the role of teacher, is such a vital role, as we were understanding yesterday in those 10 minutes. That God doesn't say, well, you do what I tell you to do, don't ask any questions. In fact, God teaches us to critique everything. Critique not with negativity, but to be able to understand. Get to the bottom of it and recognize its importance and its value. This is truth. Truth is not this absolute truth you take blindly, but you actually experience the truth of who you are, what you are as a spiritual being, and allow yourself to manifest from that place. not from what you're being told from the scriptures or books or philosophies or concepts or notions. All of those are created by human beings. But all of us as spiritual beings are in the know of everything that is to know. Everything that is to know. And it's not about facts and information and knowledge. It's about knowing the truth. And when we remove this veil of what we call body consciousness, and therefore the ego of the false self, then you're able to know everything there is to know. And knowing is not about actual scenes and that might unfold, but having a deep sense of what is to unfold and having the power to face that which we know is to occur. This happens only when I live this person that I call myself, but I'm not trapped in myself. I'm not trapped in what's happening around me. I'm not trapped in the people in my life. But I'm able to see something for what it is and recognize the truth of it and live that truth. And to recognize the drama of life means to recognize that. And these are secrets I can tell you as information. But when you begin to experience it, no one can deny it. You cannot deny it, and nobody else can deny it with you either. And so ultimately, it is to do with each one of us generating our own experiences. And this happens through silence. We are busy doing so much and giving value to the outcomes and results and quantities and numbers. But actually, is it about that? Sometimes we fail and we think we have failed, but in such failures where I'm able to let go of my ego, there is victory. There is ownership of what is occurring. And these are secrets of the drama of life that teaches us deeper understanding about our own selves and our world around us. So I'd like to stop here and perhaps explore a little meditation about this. And then if there's time, we can explore some questions if necessary. Just sit comfortably and relaxed and a little alert is something that you've all been learning about. Important to sit up straight, to have your spine erected straight so that energy can flow. Eyes open is something that you've been learning too. It is scientifically proved that you actually concentrate better with your eyes open than your eyes closed. Did you know that? Just allow yourself to just be present physically in this seat. Noticing your breath is important because actually this notice of your breath also allows you to recognize this living nature of the spirit, the soul. The soul as this conscient, living, thinking being. As Pran, life force. When the life force leaves the body becomes just matter. It doesn't have the same capacity. Breath. So as you experience your breath, as you sense the rise and fall of your chest and your belly, you sense this living nature, an aspect of the self. I am this living source inside this body. Resting at the center of the forehead, I become aware of this spiritual energy that I am. And as I look out through the eyes, and experience the sense of separation between what I see and myself. I choose to see what I see, and I let it be. It's okay. I hear birds, perhaps some people in the background, even the sound of music. All of it has its place, but I am separate from it. I don't let that influence me. In this moment, another time I might choose to influence. But right now, I am separate from myself. That the person I call myself, this pure, clean, beautiful energy of spirituality, of peace. I don't even need to label it as anything, because it's not even an emotional experience. Like it's an experience that I might identify as a place of power. Because I make a choice about everything, about life. And it feels right to be in this place. This inner quiet, this inner peace. allows my heart to expand. I begin to realize that while I appreciate the place of power, I also need to constantly be in this place of recognizing the beauty of myself and the one that allows me and shows me how to do that. Is a recognition of the divine is eternally profound, beautiful, spiritual being of complete peace. Of love. Is ready and willing to embrace either spiritual being anytime, any place, in a fraction of a second, even before I consciously create the thought. I am held in God's love, in God's light, and I'm able to rise to my own spiritual dignity of being in perfect image of that source. And from this place, everything makes complete sense. Everything is just the way it's meant to be. Everyone. Everyone is just right the way they are. No one and nothing to be blamed for anything. And in this awareness, firstly of my own self, and then everything else. I rise to this challenge of being the offspring of God. Now. In this place, when I'm at complete peace, that time stands still. I am eternal. My relationship is eternal. My beauty is eternal. Om Shanti.